نتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب مبين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وحق تقاته لا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا الحمد لله الذي جعل يوم الجمعة سيد العيان منه ونعبد ونستعين ولاهيه وهو الذي فرد صلاة الجمعة بقوله تعالى يا الذين آمنوا إذا نودي إلى الصلاة يوم الجمعة فاسعوا لذكر الله وذروا البيع المؤمنون المخلصين هم الذين آمنوا تطمئن قلوبكم وذكر الله وذكر الله تطمئن القلوب Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the Holy Quran وَمَا قَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ وَأَرْضَنَا مُنَتَأَكِّدَ وَلَكَ لَتَخْزَأْنَهُ وَمِنْ لَدُنَا وَكُنَا فَاعِلِينَ بَعَلْنَكَ لَدِفُوهُ بِالْحَقِّ يَلَّا بِأَبَتِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَهِيكَ وَلَكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَصِفُونَ ولهما في السماوات والأرض ومن إنه يستبخلون عبادته ولا يستحسرون He says, and we did not create the heaven and the earth and what is between them as a game. Had we wished for a diversion, we could have found it in our presence if we were to do so. No, we hurl the truth against the falsehood and it breaks the head and behold it vanishes in woe and the lie of the lie and it vanishes in woe to you for what you utter about Allah and all that is in heavens and earth is His and those who are in His presence are not too proud to worship Him nor do they tire of doing so. Then he goes on and he reveals Allah reveals that they glorify Him at night and day and do not slacken. Or do they who live on earth take gods from the earth who raise the dead? Who raise the dead? If there were other gods in him beside Allah, those two realms would have both been ruined, glorified as Allah, Lord of the seat of the absolute authority above all the description. He cannot be questioned about what he does, but they will be questioned. And this is from Surah Al-Anbiya, as you may know, and alhamdulillah. There's a lot of lesson in this, inshallah, for us. In this famous ayat of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attempting to show humanity, us, that life is something to be taken very seriously and to be cherished. And life is taken seriously because that's only when we can distinguish between what is true and what is false. There are some people who feel that it's an entitlement that comes along with being called a Muslim, that they can tell what's true and what's false. And that's like me telling you that a spaceship is going to land on the front lawn tomorrow. Allah tells us the truth will always overcome what is false. Not only is the false overcome, but the false will be perished. Where? When it's cracked in the head with the truth. And we live in a time, obviously, when we're talking not about little truths, but about big truths. And then we're living in a time when people take who wear the garb or call the name of Islam and do big lies in its name. certainly it's true with other religions, but I don't think we have the time to bemoan what's happening in every religion and every path, other than to generalize the fact that the truth should stand out from what is false. And we pray to Allah that the truth of the human trust and of human kindness, and the truth that Allah has planted in the hearts of the souls of the vast, vast majority of people, and each one of us indeed, will counteract falseness and the falsity that people are spreading all around us and causing misery. And how sad it is to see every day, virtually every minute, while you've been sitting here, yet another rampage has happened in Orlando, Florida. But it's hopeful that each one of us will counteract the falseness and the falsity that people are spreading around us. And it is sad, very sad, how easy it is to reduce human beings to the most base animal nature. One would think, after the millenniums of human existence, we'd stop, just because we're bipeds, we'd stop crawling around the earth like we're animals on all fours, attacking whatever comes in our path. But indeed, animals don't do that. They only attack things that they want to eat, when they're threatening them. When we read the articles or listen to the news of the terrible things that happen around us, when we hear what is said by one faith community about another faith community, about specifically these days about Muslims, we see how people speak about their own, about other human beings in such horrible ways, wishing them the worst things and perpetrating upon them the worst things. We can try and explain it all psychologically and say, well, you know, that man yesterday, psychiatrist, was deranged. And obviously he was deranged. Only deranged people do things like that. I mean, I don't think that any of us need a degree in psychiatry, and certainly his degree didn't do him much good to be able to say that. And it doesn't suffice to explain anything to just say that people are polarized over issues, are polarized, or fearful. Of course, people are fearful. And when people speak about Islam, they talk about Islam as sort of a ruthless religion where people's hands are chopped off or people are killed at will or whatever. Not enough voices stand up and say that Islam forbids this kind of thing and forbids this kind of activity that. But even if they were said, they wouldn't be listened to. When people who are Muslims are called satanic, or when people want to put together legislation to ban the religion in the United States, or speak about Muslims in the worst disgusting pejorative terms, we recoil at that, and we should equally recoil that when Muslims speak in pejorative terms, in the worst disgusting terms about other people, whether they're speaking about their religion or their race or their political ideology. It becomes one of those strange situations of who's the biggest barbarian. And it seems that the real barbarians are the most educated ones. Isn't that strange? The ones who are empowered to help others. The ones who are empowered to lead their countries or to guide their countrymen. Sometimes the real barbarians don't commit acts like the ones I've been describing. Sometimes real barbarians are the ones who speculate on a moment-to-moment basis in the financial market and give themselves millions and hundreds of millions of dollars as their bonuses, not caring a whit about anybody else, not caring anything about the people who are out of work or the real security of the country we live in. They're also barbarians. And I have to say that if you watch in between the murders and the mayhem, you even find people who are criticizing each other who used to work in that industry every once in a while, and in between the breaking news. You may remember the story, so that the elephant, you know, the elephant has a very peaceful reputation, a reputation of being a very peaceful animal, but a rogue elephant is known all over the world. A rogue elephant, can be a rogue elephant, it can be Goldman Sachs, or it can be Dr. Nidal, whatever his name is. The problem is, when things get too big, like a rogue elephant, it has no natural enemies. And they live a long time, and very few people can defeat them, not even the President of the United States. Not even the people whom are supposed to be served. And so this rogue elephant roams around secure, even around its natural enemies. And then, of course, there are the other kind of enemies, are the ones who go out to shoot them for their ivory. You know? And they're rogues in another way. But in the natural world, they have no natural enemies. And the extended power of the human being, by themselves, human beings can't take on an elephant. But I've got to go, nobody says, look, there's the rogue elephant, I'm personally going to go wrestle it to the ground. It takes a gun or a bullet to bring down a rogue elephant, just like that the policewoman who yesterday brought down the rogue doctor. Power that's extended. It's not human power. It's a human's power to use extended power. Something human beings created. And that takes us to a whole other realm, which I don't think we need to go into, the linkages. But you see all kinds of ways of extending power to the laws of the land, to the misuse of the laws of the land. Pick a land. Doesn't have to be the United States. To innuendo, to information, to dissemination of truths and lies. It's often that they're not easily discerned which is the truth and which is the lie, and so jingoism comes in, and whoever says truth first gets the truth, and whoever points the finger and says that's a lie, and says it loud enough, and has a tea party over it, comes to lie. It used to be that the tea party was where civil people sat around at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and had high tea. Now even that has been corrupted to mean political resistance against what? Logic, reason, care, concern. And so we see that human beings have this way of extending their power to the detriment of other human beings, not even caring that it's to the detriment of themselves, or not to the detriment of people like them. The insanity has spread so much that it's fearful. Every once in a while we look around and say, is this the norm? How can people be so stupid? I was on tech support last week. The world of tech support, not Virginia Tech. And I'm talking to this woman in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I said, where are you? She said, Cedar Rapids. I said, oh, are you originally from Cedar Rapids? She said, no, I'm from a small town, Davidville, or something like that. You know, population 2-3. And we got into a slightly political discussion while we were waiting for a download, which is about the amount of time you can get into a kind of a discussion these days, about however long it takes to make a download. You know, I said something about, you're one of those, you live in one of those red states. She said, well, not me. You know, I may live here, but not me. I said, a friend. I said, what? She said, you got to remember, she said, you know, we gave Obama Iowa. I said, yeah, I do. I remember that. But look at the map today. It was on Tuesday. So look at the map today. It's all red. She said, yeah. I said, why is that? Are people so stupid that they don't give time for change to take place? You know, I gave like the talk I gave the other night about, you know, how long does it take you to recover from a major operation or cancer? She said, I don't know. She said, I don't know. People are very, she was a very articulate young lady. It was a really good point. She said, I don't know. I said, I won't even give the man a little over a year. She said, I'm willing to give him 2 to 4 years. She said, I know how bad it was. I just got my job. You know, I finally got a job. People are so stupid. Are we? So fearful and so stupid? Seems to be. But how dare a person, given the opportunity to be a physician, to heal people, and to heal people with their mental illnesses, not be able to see their own symptomology coming up? At some point he had to see his symptomology. How dare he put us all in jeopardy? Not just the people he killed, but the rest of us who carry the same identification of a Muslim. How dare he? And we can do those how dare yous to the bankers and to the insurance companies and to the rest of the health industry and insurance industry and to warmongering previous administrations. How dare they? And people sit passively instead of taking active part in politics. How dare we not participate? And Allah tells us that ultimately it's the good deed. Ultimately it's the good work. Good actions. One Islamic scholar, I can't remember who it was, said the act of doing good deeds is a keystone to the structure of life. A good deed points to actions that have to be the result of knowledge. And knowledge which is becoming ripe in the form of wisdom. And in truth, good deeds, good works, are the key in the way for human beings to find inner and outer contentment and peace. And to help that there to be peace and contentment among other human beings. Peace and contentment among other human beings. Do these people really think they go to their grave with anything other than their deeds? And whether it's visible or whether it's hidden or whether it's spiritual or whether it's secular, whether it's personal or whether it's a social collective reality or physical or mental, good actions make improvements in society. That's just the truth. Oh, gee, isn't that intelligent shit? One person at a time. One group at a time. A good deed, my dear brothers and sisters, is the act that really lets one taste halal success. And these acts are sufficient in themselves to lift the actor to a very high degree of awareness and advancement, and one that is encoded. And we know what a bad deed does. It lands you somewhere like this major doctor, fool, deranged individual. Good deeds are engraved on our soul. And the benefit to those who are recipients of good deeds, I think, are obvious. The benefit to the givers of good deeds are maybe a little less obvious. Can you imagine? Maybe somewhere along the way, this man, this now deranged major doctor, so-called Muslim, maybe he helped some people. Maybe he helped some people who came from Iraq and Afghanistan. Maybe he did. Maybe up at Walter Reed he did, maybe there he did before he snapped. Can you imagine how confused those people are right now? Maybe he helped them with their post-traumatic stress disorder. Maybe he gave them some decent advice. Maybe he made a prescription that helped them. Who knows? Can you imagine how confused they must be right now? How can a hand that gives does good do bad? But we know about hands that are extended out in peace. One hand is extended out in peace and the other one's left. Right? Which is why the Native Americans always extended two hands, right? Show that they're... Right? hands are empty. Why we were created to act in the way of Allah? Why we are created to remember Allah in everything? Why we are created to serve Allah's creatures, Allah's creation? Because that is the fitrah, that is the nature of humanness. And the Quran refers to this nature of the human beings. But in Surah Watini was Aitunuturisinin, huh? Why says the fig. Says, indeed we have created man in the best of molds. Best of molds. Well, this mold and that mold and the one in Orlando and over here and over there and that leader and that person over there in that country and here and there and that one of that color and that religion and that size and that shape and that one is moldy. Moldy. And not turning into good cheese. And not turning into penicillin. Corrupt. How's that happen? Mold on the vegetables because people don't eat those Brussels sprouts. They rot in the walkout. I don't know how to make Brussels sprouts. I don't like Brussels sprouts. Moldy. He says, I have only created men and jinn that they may serve me through my worship. Through my worship. Worship. Worship, even in the most literal sense, worship doesn't mean killing anybody. Worship doesn't mean harming anybody. Worship doesn't mean imprisoning anybody. Worship doesn't mean beating anybody. Worship doesn't mean whipping anybody. Worship doesn't mean cutting the hands off of people. It doesn't mean any of that. Worship doesn't mean any of those things. Worship means you put your head on the ground and you put your head up. That's the most literal sense. The most literal sense. And if you're a Catholic, it means on your knees you say, Hail Mary, Mother of God, bless out thy one womb, bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, pray for us, it is now the hour of our death. Amen. And if you're Jewish, you say, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And if you're Hindu, you say many things. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. If you're Buddhist, you say Tashidari, I don't know. You say Tatvamasi. You say Aham. If you're Hindu, you say Aham Brahmasmi. You have many things. Pick what you want. If you're a Mormon, you say, I don't know what a Mormon is. But it never means to harm anybody. Worship never means to harm anybody. Worship never means to harm anybody. You may have to protect your home from somebody breaking into it. You may have to stand up for your rights to worship. But it's only in defense and never in offense and never, never, never with the intent to do harm. So, moldy. And of course we know that Allah doesn't mean to worship just through ritual. The next level up, as we spoke last night, of the adab of ritual. Huh? You worship through good deeds. You worship by being a servant, by serving. Ibadah abd. And in that sense, ibadah means obedience. It also means kindness. It means awareness of the Islam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah is upon which everything depends in our whole social system and our own personal well-being. In that sense of service. And we would treat our actions as if they were worship and our communications, that they were speaking holy words and special words of Allah, not Allahu Akbar, bang, bang, bang. As if somehow that justifies everything. And then if people understood this, then what it really means, then we would have success and contentment and fulfillment in our life. If we had humility and if we had fear of Allah, if we had fear of doing anything that is not filled with good intention. And we're human beings. We're part of a collective. We all have our individual ideas, we have our individual desires and our individual intentions. Of course we do, but we're part of a collective purpose, a collective intention, a collective reason for the creation of this universe. And as a result of our good actions and our good deeds, that's the way we can become harmonized, balanced, in line with wisdom. Be an efficient what? Creation. Prabhupada says, Man amila salihan min zakharin a unta wa huwa muhminun fala nuhyahayana hu hayatin taib wa la najaziyannahum ajrahum bi ahsani ma kanu yamalun. Whoever does right from among men and women, and he is a believer, we will surely cause him to live a good life, and we will surely give him their reward in proportion to the best of what they do. And then what? He says, فَإِذَا كَرَتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَ إِذَا بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ أَلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَلَّا رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And when you recite Quran, seek refuge in Allah from the curse of Shaitan. Truly, he has no authority over those who believe and who place their trust in their Lord. إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ أَلَّا الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّهُنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. He only has authority over those who take him as their protector and those who set up partners to worship alongside Allah. So that man runs in there and he says, Ya Allahu Akbar, and his partner is Shaitan. That's who his partner is. That's the partner of the Kaamehis and the Ahmadinejads. That's the partner of all these people who dare to use this name, Allah. It just goes to show you that education, degrees, postgraduate degrees, don't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. It's what your intention is to do with them. What's your intention? And how are you going to get that support? So, either you're going to create a robot, or you're going to create a being of character. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create robots, He created us for a specific purpose. A very specific, a special organic system of wisdom and discipline and understanding and personal choices that runs throughout His creation with His choice. And it's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind that system of creation in a very unique and marvelous way that whatever happens in this world should be and can be and could be in line with some overall plan and not against that plan. And this whisperer comes in. This constant conflict and struggle that we find in every corner of the universe doesn't mean that there's no order in the universe. It doesn't mean that there's no discipline in the universe. It doesn't mean that there's no purpose or any hope. But there is, because, alhamdulillah, at least at this moment, whatever time it is right now, we're not living in the midst of anarchy. But it's not that anarchy can't exist. And in fact, it's because of constant conflicts that we're reminded until we know, until we understand that it's not about conflicts in this world. It's about conflicts within our own self that have to be solved. The jihad al-akbar. That we have to be reminded of the presence of Allah and reminded of our inability to do anything without His will, without His name, if we are sane, sincere individuals. We can be philosophical and we can say that when something degenerates, it's the beginning of a revival of something new, that there's a new opportunity in all this, a new opportunity in this system. It's because of this constant changing from the old views to the new states that the universe remains alive and fresh and new. And yes, that's true. It's good to find boundaries and push them for the good. It's good to find our talents and use them and our abilities for the good. We take young people who come here for over 30 years and we try to guide them for the good. And many of them, most of them, I'm sure, the ones that we know about, do good work. We have things to be proud of and things to be happy about. I'm sure we could have done it better. And sure we can do it better. And sure there are other ways to look at things that might open up new doorways. And let's open our hearts and embrace those ways and find that guidance and work together for doing that goodness and find new challenges and find out things so people can find better about themselves and feel stronger in their beliefs for doing the good. And when we think on making no change, the change is impossible, I must say the thought crossed my mind in the last 24 hours. When we think that we're not growing and we're not making enough effort, I have to admit the thought crossed my mind in the last 24 hours. And we want to give up. I have to admit that the thought crossed my mind in the last 24 hours. And when we think we're making no change because our effort isn't right, I have to admit that the thought crossed my mind in the last 24 hours. We have to remind ourselves. And the Quran constantly states that human progress is based on good works, on good action. The whole universe is moving through some kind of divine plan in a very particular direction that we might understand if we increase our good works, if we dive into the world of Muraqabah and meditation, if we understand the relationship between the inner and the outer, if because we understand that every good work is like a point on a map and it tells you where you're going. And there's no happiness without good works. And there's no completion without good works. And there's no happiness in sitting and doing what you know over and 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 over again. And there's no happiness in thinking that you yourself can change the world through anything but good works. There's only misery for yourself and obviously for others. There's no happiness in doing what you know, and only with no contact with other new human beings. There's no way of building strength in your character without good works. There's no strength in your religion without good works. There's no strength in your knowledge without good works. And if you isolate yourself, or if we isolate ourselves from the rest of humanity, and we think that we have all the answers, and we know how to put them to test with conversation and in acts of good works, we're not only fools. We're worse than that. We're worse than that. We're followers of the whisperer. And then you build this psychological prison that you live in and you keep the rest of the world out and anybody else tries to die any differently, well, you know what happens. So if you have real faith in Allah, real trust in Islam, real faith in the deen, real faith in good works, real faith, and ihsan, and what is beautiful, then you get out and you work for humanity. You work for the community. You work for your family. You work for the safety, security of your own soul. In that order, you encourage others to do the same. And there's no happiness without those good works. There's no success without the sacrifice. There's no success without difficulty. There's no success without effort. So let's attune ourselves to the rhythm of good things. The rhythm of that divine presence. When you ever hear the whisperer, tell him, shut up. Shut up. When you see something that needs to be done that's good, do it. Take the initiative. And I say this to the children, learn how to take initiative to do good things as children, because nobody's going to teach you easily when you're an adult. It may mean you walk in, you see the clothes all over the floor of your room. Thank God that doesn't happen in our house. And you see, and you say, and you take the initiative, and what will happen immediately? Mommy or daddy will walk in the room and say, "Oh, alhamdulillah, How is that possible? Dia cleaned up her room. Sabrine cleaned up her room. How is it possible? Good deeds. Take initiative. You see someone who doesn't have a hat on and is cold, give them a hat. You see someone without a scarf around their neck and you saw that they were sick the day before, tell them, here, take this scarf. You see it raining, get an umbrella. Take initiative. It's not about deciding what you're going to watch on television. That's not initiative. Take the plate off the table. Put it in the sink. Run water on it. Tomorrow you might take a sponge and wipe it. Mommy and Daddy will not say, let me clean it. You don't know how to clean it. That would be not good. But you know, why we know this is because some of us didn't take initiative and we had to learn it the hard way. You'll learn it in many hard ways, which we won't go into. I say to the children, take initiative, good, to do good works. To do good works. So I don't like it. Well, you will like the response you get. Oh, you made that beautiful. You look at that, you cleaned up yourself here. Have a cookie. And you may think I was going to have the cookie anyway. I was going to go take the cookie without anybody looking, or I was going to take the cookie and then bear the, why are you eating more cookies? You had enough cookies today. But the cookie that's given with appreciation is a lot different than the one you take on your own. The thanks that come, did you clean up your room? Finally, yes, thank you. That's a lot different than, oh, thank you for cleaning up your room. Right? Isn't it different? This is how a good potential human being of good character becomes one of really great character and goodness. And they can't do anything bad. Unless, unfortunately, some mental derangement, which we don't, thank God, thank Allah that doesn't happen that often. But when it happens, it happens big time. Big time. So, time is like a food for action. Where does it go? Time disappears. Turns into something else. If you take the time, if you take the nails, you take the hammer, you take the wood, and you take the time, you build a house. And somebody lives in that house. And it might be called a habitat for humanity. We're building the habitat for humanity. Great name. I was with the people last week for Habitat for Humanity. Very nice. I have to get back to them, actually. They want to have interfaith. I suggested to them some interfaith building. They were very interested in doing that. So it said that Allah loves those who are patient and who do good works in His name. So let's try to get some good perspective on all this, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum. Allahumma ansana bithanaka al-khayru al-nasirin, wafsiranaka finaka al-khayru al-fatihin, wakfiilana finaka al-khayru al-ghafirin, warhamna finaka al-khayru al-rahimin, rahimin, warzukana finaka al-khayru al-razikin, وهبنا نجنا من الغم الظالمين وهب لنا ريحان طيبة كما هي في العلم وانشرنا علينا من خزائنه رحمتك واحملنا بها حمل الكرامات والسلامات من أخيات في الدين والدنيا وأخيرا إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم يسر أمرنا ومهلاتي وقلوبنا وأبادنا وسلامتي وأخياتي وديننا وديننا ونسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا كاسيا ونسألك علما نافيا ونسألك دينا قائما ونسألك العافية من كل بلية ونسألك دائما العافية ونسألك دائما العافية ونسألك الشكر على العافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم واسفر وجهنا لنور صفاتك وأدرنا بشيرنا يوم القيامة بين أرضك وجعل يدك مبسوطة لدينا وعلى أهلنا ومن معنا برحمتك وكن لنا صاحبا وسفارا وكلفة وأخونا واتمس على وجه أيدنا من سخهم على مكاناتهم فلا يستطيعون المدير ولا مجرى علينا يا نمال مجيب يا نمال مجيب يا نمال مجيب. Oh Allah, please respond to our dua, our prayer. You are the best aid and opener for everything and overcoming the oppressors, and to bring faith and submissive hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and free people from their afflictions and complete their beingness and their well-beingness, and give us continual well-being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are praying today for those who have passed and for those who are living with the loss of those who have passed. We're asking Allah to shower them with patience and perseverance and love, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to cleanse our community of the illness that it has. Not this community, alhamdulillah, most of us are well except some physical illnesses. Thank God. Thank you, Allah, for that blessing. Thank you, Allah, for that blessing. We are whole, and hopefully, emotionally and mentally. But the community of people who call themselves Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed all faith communities, cleanse them of their angers and their ignorance. And for those who are among us who are ill, who are sick, heal them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can continue to serve you. Amen.